Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, thank you that you are our Lord. All we need to know for salvation and for good mental health and joy and peace is Jesus is Lord only. May your Holy Spirit drive that home through your word today. Keep mine at a minimum, and may yours be elevated. In Christ's name, amen. I want to do a little prying. Have you ever been upset in a store? Have you ever gotten upset on the phone? With a doctor's office? With a telephone company? With an insurance company? Have you ever raised your voice? How many of you have ever yelled at a computer? And mine is always, let me speak to the one in charge. I don't want to speak to some latchkey. I mean, give me the one in charge who has some authority. Well, the disciples are like us. And the gospel that we've heard read today has them debating, vigorously fighting which one is greater. The word there for dispute is actually a unique word in the Greek. You take the word for argue and the word where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and these are people who love to argue. You know anyone that just loves to fight? And they're not happy unless they're disputing. So they're enjoying this discussion. And the discussion they're enjoying is who's going to be the greatest. Now, if you look at your Bible, that's a quite interesting dispute, argument that they should be having, who is going to be the greatest, because it's immediately after Jesus said, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And then all of a sudden they start deciding like vultures of who's going to be in charge, who was the greatest for when this happens. I remember when I was in seminary years ago, one of the first classes, something was told to me by a pastoral counselor professor. And when he said it, it just seemed so harsh that I thought, that can't be the case. Human nature is better than that. But 35, 36 years later, I have to say, he was right. And this is what he told me. My headache means more to me than your cancer does. And when he told me that, I thought, we're not that self-centered. We're not that unable to be empathetic. Of course your cancer is far more important than my headache. But sadly, I've learned that he was correct. I've unfortunately been even in hospital rooms where a family member is dying and the vultures are swarming. And this is what happened. Jesus is saying, I'm going to lay down my life. And the disciples start saying, I want to be in charge. And there are two things about being a king from the world standpoint that they look. And if you look with me, look at verse 24 and 25 of this passage, Luke 22. Look what Jesus says about the world. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors among you. But look what their question was, which is very interesting, because that speaks to power. Jesus says, you want to lord it over. But look what they ask in verse 24. A dispute arose as to which one of them, doesn't say is the greatest or would be the greatest, it says which one of us will be regarded the greatest. See, for the world's definition of being a king, it's not only power, but it's reputation. I mean, what good is being in control if nobody knows it? We want people to know that we're powerful. We want a bigger office. We want reserved parking spots. We want people to know. It's not just the world, unfortunately, this has seeped into the church. The Pope that Luther had to go against, Pope Leo X, he famously said, "The Lord has given us the papacy. Let's now enjoy it." And it's this self-centeredness that the world defines power. More, bigger, best. I was sharing with the Sunday school class a very interesting statistic that I saw in doing some research for this sermon. They polled people and they said, would you rather work in an organization where you made $200,000 but everybody else made $300,000? Or would you rather work in an organization where you made $75,000 but everybody else made $50,000? Now common sense would say, give me the job that makes $200,000, right? That's $125,000 increase. But 76% of the people said, I'd rather make less substantially if I'm on top of the pile. It was more important to be seen as the highest, to be regarded as the best. And Jesus says, powerful words in verse 26, but not so with you. And the you there is plural, the church. We should not function like business. We should not function like politics. That'd be a good place for an amen, right? We don't function with a marketing strategy. We look to Jesus. We have a problem when we look away from Jesus. Mark Twain, who wasn't a theologian but had some good sayings, he said, God created man in his image, and we've returned the favor ever since. We take what we think ought to be, and we mold what God must be to meet that. There's an old Norwegian saying that's so wonderful. It says, whatever conception your mind comes at, I'll tell you that, flat, God is not that. Whatever you think that God must be. You've noticed that when people are warring together, everyone assumes God is on their side. Every Republican knows that God must be red. And every Democrat knows that God is on their side and must be blue. Libertarians know God is truly a libertarian. Independents know everyone we seem to think God is on my side. And the truth of the matter is God said to Joshua, I didn't come to take sides, I came to take over. And the true king is neither side. We look to Jesus. Our king is Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is a particular type of king. Look at the palm I gave you. On Palm Sunday, the people put down palms that looked like this. For these are what you would put down when a king would come in, so the dust of the day would not soil the king's stead, would not soil his clothing. It's like a gentleman putting his coat out on a mud puddle. I wonder if that ever happened. Did any of you ever do that? You see it in the picture. It's the same concept. We don't want your delicate feet to touch dirty soil. But Jesus Christ said, this isn't the type of king I am. This is the type of king I am. I define being a king not in being power, but choosing a different way. And if you'll look with me to Philippians 2, where Dave read, Paul tells us a description of Jesus' kingship. Jesus chose demotion. He had everything. and he gave it up, that great kenosis of emptying himself. He didn't empty himself of Godhead. He was always God. You can't give up being God. But he emptied himself of all the privileges. He came to earth. He became defenseless. He was surrounded by those who were criticizing and demanding and questioning and blaspheming and rejecting and spitting. But he was determined. As we said together in the, or heard in the Isaiah passage, he set his face like flint. He was determined. And it didn't matter that they pulled his beard out and disgraced him. He knew where he was going, and he got there. But I want to look more at how this gospel passage ends. So if you'll read with me the last three verses of Luke 22, this is what we see. Because Jesus always takes it from him and talks about me and you because of his love. Look in verse 28. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. The Greek word there for assigned, and some, I think the NIV translates it this way, it should be confer. I confer to you the same kingdom I conferred to Jesus. What Jesus was conferred to by the Father is exactly the same kingdom that's conferred to us. Let me ask you, Jesus was a pretty good son, wasn't he? Jesus was sort of perfect. Jesus was without sin. Jesus is the exact same essence as the Father. So what type of kingdom do you think the Father would confer on Jesus? The exact kingdom he confers on you. That's incredible. We couldn't make that stuff up. It's too absurd. It's too scandalous. It's too much of a stumbling block. But it's the truth. It's the gospel. It's the good news. We win. Not because of who we are, but because the same kingdom is conferred upon us. And now we know who's in charge. And we can dismiss all those other voices that want to be in charge. I went through, and just so it would impress us by the number of the voices that Jesus heard in Luke 22 and 23. Judas and the plotters said, "What will you give me if I turn them over to you?" The disciples arguing, "I am greatest." "No, I am not. No, not you, but Peter or John or me." Satan said to Jesus, "Give me Peter. You can keep the rest, but give me Peter." Again, Satan said to Jesus, "You don't have to go to the cross. Listen to me." Judas said, "This is the one I kiss. Take him." Again, Peter denied him, "Woman, I don't know him at all." The soldiers prophesied, "Who hit you?" The council, "If you are the Christ, prove it to us." Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Herod, "Give me a sign. Do something. Don't just stand there. Say something." The crowd, "Away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him." The rulers, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ." And Jesus Christ, with his face set like flint, knowing that a kingdom had been conferred upon him, could disregard all those other voices because he knew who was in charge. And because we know who's in charge, because we know who our king is, here's some voices we can dismiss. The one who says, He's really not the Christ. Miracles don't just happen. The atheist who would say, how can a good God allow suffering like this? There is no God. A fearful believer. I can't really start being a Christian. What if I stumble? The skeptic. Yeah, I've tried that religious stuff once, but it just didn't take. I don't feel it anymore. The one who's petrified that he doubts in God's ability to come back. And he says, I don't know if he really could forgive me. May we be like Mary, who knew her King and said, the only word that matters is what you decree. Be it unto me according to your word. And she birthed Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ be birthed in us. And may he be our only King. Amen.
Royalty are invited here. but he gave his life as king so the subjects could be crowned with the king. So we invite you to this table as those entitled to come through Jesus Christ. All those who love our Lord and Savior with sincerity and truth, please come. This is the king's table. You are the king's children. We practice by intention. We'll give you a piece of bread. You dip it into the chalice. Then come and spend some time at this kneeling bench. Grandma, would you be willing to pray?
Yes, I would.
Nessie will be over at the corner. There may be some issues, some needs, and you want someone to join you in agreement on. Nessie will be there to pray. This is the Lord's table.